And I didn't stop because we were afforded tonight a fascinating combination of a native Wilkes Countyan who appreciates his history and who is digging deep to attempt to hold for posterity the best that we know in Wilkes County. And of course, I'm speaking of Jay Anderson and his work in Wilkes County history. And then, after Jay's anecdotes of frolicking through dinner on the grounds and satchels and ghost stories, we then went to Dr. Abernathy, who is an observer of national customs and life. And I listened with interest and attempted to put together in my own mind what Dr. Abernathy was saying was happening as he observed it throughout the nation. And I couldn't help but feel that we've got the best of all lives in Wilkes County. And I can say that with authority because I'm not a native. And nobody told me I had to come to Wilkes County, and nobody offered me a job to come to Wilkes County. And I came here of my choice 20 years ago, and I stayed because indeed we have a life that many of you who are natives can't appreciate. We have a magnificent combination of the old and the new in this county. And what I want to do is see if we can get some discussion started on some of these points that both of these gentlemen have made. And I listened to the thoughts on the love affair with the automobile, for instance, to get you thinking a little bit. And I thought of one of the first NASCAR tracks in the United States outside of North Wilkesboro, and the Junior Johnson culture. Junior Johnson, whom the second Tom Wolfe calls the last hero of the United States. And that's Wilkes County. That's a part of Wilkes County. And Wilkes County, Dr. Abernathy has a love affair with the automobile. This probably goes beyond the commodious getting from one point to another. It indeed has a love affair with its automobile. And since we have not found a solution to the problems of public transportation in a rural mountainous area, the love affair, in my eyes, and I want to get some feedback from you, will go on far longer. Even though gas gets to be $2 a gallon than it would in other areas of the country. And what do you feel about that? What's going to happen when you in Eastern Wilkes think of visiting a friend or a relative in McGrady, which if depending upon how you get there could be some 35 miles from here or more. And Dr. Abernathy, we measure distance in time in Wilkes County rather than in mileage. What's going to happen without a public transportation system? And I'm not talking gloom. Let's talk about Wilkes County's love affair with an automobile.
Betty, I think it might be appropriate to go back and ask still further for those of us who are or were around and still remember what times were like back in the period during 1942-43, the war years, when we had severe government-imposed gas rations. What was it like back then? I'll have to confess I came along just very shortly after that, so what was it like? What facilities did you have?
Public busing in Elkin and that in this area right in here.
I've heard a lot of people here not talk about catching a bus up in Rhonda before go to Chatham's to work.
Yes, they did. They ran a bus to and from.
Do you see that happening again?
Yes, I think so, because I'm personnel manager at Sunbeam Appliance Company east of Elkin, and we're working now on getting maybe a bus, working with some people who are putting it, going to put in some buses for this area. They're hoping to, if we can get enough people, if they can get enough people at Chatham to ride the bus, and also enough people at our plant to ride, then they will, the Elkin, Jones, Ford, Dobson area that run buses.
Is there anyone here from either Western or the Northwestern area of Wilkes County? Well, let me tell you what happened with us in one experiment we tried. Broyhill Industries in the Lenoir area was in need of a number of laborers. And I direct the Blue Ridge Opportunity Commission, which is an anti-poverty agency. We had assessed needs of a number of people who needed jobs in Ashe County. So the natural thing to do when we picked up the information that Broyhill had openings and would train would be to try to get the labor and the industry together. And Broyhill sent buses, regularly scheduled buses, and we notified the potential workers, and it was a bust. The bus experiment was a bust, because the mountain man in that area says, I am the independent man who will not meet a schedule. He would rather stay unemployed in this one instance than to have to adjust his independence of being able to get behind the wheel of his car and be free to drive at his own will and his own schedule, rather than to meet a set schedule whereby he got on a bus, he was taken free to the job, and brought back.
You're talking about Ashe County to Lenoir?
Yes, ma'am.
I would be unemployed too.
That's a long way.
It is a very long way, but it was paid employment for the unemployed who had no money. Well, again, you see, exactly, we've hit it.
How many people were you talking about?
We were talking about a 30 person busload.
I would have to make that trip every day too.
So would I, but if I had no employment and a family.
You're talking about 3 hours a day on the bus or 4 hours?
We're talking about 2.5 to 3 hours a day on the bus.
I'd rather prime tobacco.
Yeah, but you can't do that all year long.
No. Now, surely the goodness you can find something else to do. A little closer.
Well, I think I can speak as far as I can. Concerned, the attitude the students have there who will not ride together if they've got their own car.
That's right. That's becoming a problem right here in the county about how many parking places can you afford at a school. Did I hear this right, that there are going to be 900 parking places at the New Wilk Central High School?
I don't know.
I think so.
Probably.
Have about 600 too, then you.
That's right. I mean,
have you seen any decline in the cars being driven to school?
No. Unless they've got some reason to stay after school or something, it's like they don't ride the bus. I mean, I drove my senior year and I loved it too, but the way things are now, I don't see how parents afford to.
We don't have a lot that work. Yes, we do, but we provide transportation from here to the vocational center and back every day at Haifa, take their own car, rather than ride the bus up there, even though we would have to have another bus, I guess, if they all went on the bus. But see, they get that free and they take their own cars.
That's not why they do it, though, is it? They just want to drive.
They just want to drive up there and back, yeah.
It still doesn't come down again to the love affair with the car?
I guess so.
Starting at you know, driver license age, the first year.
It gets $5 a ride.
Really?
Do you have the problem in your schools of youngsters taking jobs in fast food places to earn enough money to buy a car so that they don't have time to do their schoolwork, because it's been suggested driving a car is a symbol of your freedom and your power to be an individual, to implement your own choices.
Not just fast food.
Rather than parents' or teachers' choices.
We're starting to have that community in college, though.
We have one student here who goes to work at 4:30 every afternoon and gets off at 4 o'clock in the morning and comes to school.
How much does he learn?
Well, not a whole lot. I asked him one day, when do you sleep? And he said, well, on the weekends.
I had him in the eighth grade to catch chickens all night.
That's what he does. He does.
Come in and just sit in class. You couldn't wake him up.
We have a lot of kids that work at the mill at Chatham's all night. I mean, 8 hour shift.
Another thing that Dr. Abernathy, and I'm not getting too far away from the car, but maybe I am, mentioned as a suggestion is industries where women are entering the labor force offering daycare centers. It was tried. It was tried at Holly Farms. And Dr. Abernathy, it was rejected by the women. They felt, now this is dates back, I'd say, 10, 15 years, and maybe times which have changed would change the psychology. But the women felt that it was a threat to leave a child with employees of the business where they worked. There was something about taking the child away from the home, and Holly Farms offered it free years ago.
But then
it was not participated in.
Their mothers or their sisters would keep those kids for nothing. When this new generation comes up and all of us oldies have got jobs, our kids are going to have to take their kids to the daycare center. And good riddance, if you ask me. They don't know. Kids now know what they can get in daycare centers. Daycare centers and kindergarten, all that has changed people's idea of what they want their children to have. I think they'll want to have something better.
What about these social organizations that were alluded to? Are you witnessing more and more groups vying for your volunteer time? The Rurtan clubs, of course the Grange is pretty well, in this part of the county, the Grange still flourishes, but in other parts of the county, the Grange has phased out more or less. What is vying for your volunteer time? Are the PTAs active in the school systems?
That went out in high schools when they consolidated schools. Elementary schools can have them, but the high schools are just too far removed from the people to ever have any kind of active parent organization. You have boosters club, like band boosters or athletic boosters or something like that, but not PTA.
When there is a togetherness that takes place, is it around issues or what kind of a kinship? What do you look for when you, as a volunteer, come together with a group? What in Wilkes County takes your attention on the back row there?
You're talking about
an organization of people that brings people together.
I think you hit the point there with the issue. I think most of the organizations that I'm familiar with, people belong to those organizations because they want to get a particular thing done, not necessarily for the social thing, like the Boosters Club, for example. That's the first thing that crosses my mind. I think most of the people who belong to the Boosters Club aren't there for a social activity. I think they're there because they want to get something done athletically that their children are involved in, or what have you.
And we are experiencing the emergence of large annual events. Take the Brushy Mountain Apple Festival, which in its 2 years has drawn the biggest crowds that have ever been seen in Wilkes County. The first one, there were 25,000 people turned out for. Is this evidence of a hunger of people to come together with old values that bring the families out? I'm gonna tread on some toes here. I don't personally value this new outdoor drama we have. I don't think that's the best of Wilkes County's heritage.
Thank you very much for that, Baker. I agree.
The real story of Tom Dooley is a very filthy story. And the fact that people are using this as public promotion for what is the best in Wilkes County offends me. But that's very personal. But it is a new major event that is bringing people publicly out. What aren't we doing that we could do in that world?
While you're on this subject, I've got a personal note I'd like to throw in. Each year now for the past 11, three of which we were rained out, the Wilkes Wiseman's Club has sponsored annually each year at Mount Long Memorial Park a sunrise service. Now we've had classically fairly good attendance. I've heard estimates of as high as 5,000, which I don't quite believe, to figures well in excess of 2,000 head count, which I do believe. But we find it's becoming more and more difficult not to get the audiences out. That's easy. But to find enough students and or adults who are willing to participate, who are willing to devote the time to come out and meet with us about a half dozen times and be in the graveyard at 4 o'clock on Easter morning. Simple as that. But this is one pageant that you don't hear too much about in some cases, but nevertheless, it is probably as long an ongoing project as we've had. And yet we've tried contacting the music people in the schools who tell us that, and they were very cooperative for a number of years, but they say, okay, because of the school schedule, students are gone in 4 weeks, you can't find them anymore. Try to find a student on Easter weekend. I'll tell you where they are. They're down about 65 miles. Down 115. But, serious.
They're not having
it. This is a problem to try to get enough people interested to come out to demonstrate a reenactment of the Lord and Savior we all believe in and his crucifixion.
Well, the children go to my church or down here in our cemetery on Easter morning, and that's where I want them to be. I don't want them to be up in the other end of the county. It's more meaningful to me to go to the church here and the cemetery here at 6:30 in the morning than just to come up there at 4:30. But I guess a lot of communities don't have that.
True. Because we get through most of the time, the pageant lasts about 45 minutes, and it runs approximately 45 minutes to conclude by local sunrise. And there's usually plenty of time to get to whatever local sunrise service you happen to have, even if you're down in this section of the county, because I have done it. But myself, it's stated in the speed limit. But it is a valid point, and I can see that we don't want to pull anybody away from an existing church service. But those who aren't committed, it's becoming harder and harder just to get people to come out really for anything. How many people do you get out of church on Wednesday nights, for example? Wednesday night prayer service. What do you hit, 20, 25 at the most in a 250-member church, if you're lucky?
Well, this is one of the real problems we run into in this business of getting together. The fact that what you just said, Nina, that quite often we get so involved in a big thing, let's say countywide, that we forget the little bits and pieces that have a great deal of meaning in the various communities what Gary's saying about church services, I mean, just an example, this has been tried in Wilkes County any number of times, in the two towns particularly, organization of a community chorus, what does it do to the choirs of the towns? It kills them, basically. You have fewer members showing up for choir rehearsals because they go to the community chorus. I think it's something where you have to make a decision there, which goes back to the question you asked about GoBetty, as to more or less what our priorities are, what our priorities are. What do we hope to have, or what do we hope to get, or to give, what is our purpose in blocking the organization? I think we have to face that sort of thing. Do we want a big sort of thing that makes a big show, or do we want to sort of have a few of those and then have every community having its own individual, which goes back to something we talked about here before, the importance really in the community school, where the children feel they belong to this school, let's say, rather than to a very large organization, which doesn't have quite the many, their own smaller school did, as a sort of second home.
I want to get my pet peeve on record here about schools. Not a lot, but this is my best one. You know, we've got a $700,000 new gym out here, which you should not miss at all costs. We have asked for years and years and years to have a small place where students can have drama, public speaking, that sort of thing. That is, the kids in this school love this. We've asked for a place this size. That is the bottom of the priorities. Like the elementary schools, they've torn up all the auditoriums and made them into libraries and learning centers and cafeterias and all kinds of things. I think that's been one of the biggest mistakes that's ever been made in schools.
Here, here.
And that there's a need for that. We need to get it back in the schools so that kids can have an opportunity we need to provide for them. Be sure and tell Mr. Bradburn about that.
Well, I'd like to, it really goes back. One of the things that Betty and I discussed briefly on the telephone was this business of have the community centers, are they more or less meeting the needs of the community schools? The answer is no.
No, absolutely.
Because how much input do the young people have? The thing that I've also heard from young people in college when this matter comes up, we have no input as to how the community center is going to be used. The older people have set rules that they say we've got to follow. We may be able to run, we've got to follow some other rules and regulations. We have nothing to say about it.
When a lot of these smaller elementary schools, and of course Jay is personally involved, has been in the past, in the eastern part of the county, were closed for, and consolidated, what is the reaction of the parents in the community? Was there any? You know, did people meet together to oppose or endorse? I can't remember.
But we had the big promotion of going around to all these places and meeting and telling how wonderful it was going to be. I remember when we had it at Pleasant Hill, you know, to convince. Now, some of these schools need to be closed. They really did.
Yeah.
But some of them really were good schools and could have served a lot of good things, purposes in the community.
Well, before we started, Gary and I were talking about what we agree is a small tragedy taking place in another section of Wilkes County, namely the closing of the Union Township, or the Union Elementary School. Township?
Union
Township is right. I get the two mixed up every once in a while. It's remote. It's one of the last small elementary schools. The attendance, the student body of this school had the highest instance of poverty than any other elementary school in the county, which made it a very expensive public school operation. But where is the need greater than to break that cycle in a school where the majority of the children are just waiting for age 16 to quit, who are going to work at minimum wage somewhere, and they're going to get married by the time they're 18, and in a year or two, they're wards of the state because there's no preparation. Where can money best be spent? And this is tossed out to you school people and other interested people in the audience, then to put a teacher corps in an area like that, maintain the school, and attempt to break that cycle. It takes a special teacher who can reach that problem-ridden child coming out of the disadvantaged family. But if you close those schools and throw the children with, quote, their peer group, which ain't so, it isn't their peer group, they aren't prepared for that, they're automatically going to drop out in a very short period of time. And then each of us taxpayers is going to be burdened with their load. You know, to see this school close, to me, is a tragedy. It's just one out of many. But this is one of the last ones in the county, which is small and remote, and the Board of Education says is expensive to operate.
May I interject this? Doesn't that bring up the need for getting together groups like this where enough people get interested to stand up and say what we please and what we believe? I think it's perfectly obvious that the elected officials, including the people who are on the school board or elsewhere, or school superintendents, would listen if enough people got together and said we are opposed or we are for something. We used to talk about it in very, very small groups, right? Mm-hmm. Or not at all, or over the back fence. But if enough people get together, I still think the democratic process works. But you got to convince a few politicians once in a while, even if you have to hit them over the head, figuratively speaking, with a 2x4. And by having, that's one of the reasons, really, basically, for these folks to get together and talk about the things that have meaning for us. The moral values, as one thing. The things that affect your children, not mine, I don't have any. But the things that affect our communities, for better or for worse, what can we do about it? And actually, if enough of us kept getting together and not only talking, but, well, let me give you one example. I don't know how many of you know Irene Parsons. Or who she is, but she, I mentioned her, I think, in the first forum. Irene Parsons was at one time the head of the personnel division of the Veterans Administration, appointed by Lyndon Johnson, with roughly 200,000 people under her. And she was furious when she came down here and found out, when her sister had written her, about what was going on at Parsonsville concerning the hoopla up there, remember? Yes, you do, too. What was going on at Parsonsville? Dr. Watts and his
nuclear waste plant. Yeah.
And she said that she said, I wish I had time and could get back to Wilkes County. I'd be one of the first to lead a movement up there and have signs all over the place, and I would march and I would do everything I could to let the people get involved. And she said, that's what it's going to take. It's what it does help. And it does. If enough people get involved.
They did.
That's what I'm talking about. That when she comes down from Washington and says that I wish I could just come down and get involved because I want to.
I was teasing Chuck Parker today in a telephone conversation that I had with him. And I had asked him earlier about the possibility, you know, would petitions help? And they said, no, the decision's already been made. I'm wondering how irrevocable that decision is if enough people camped on the courthouse steps, as it were, and so that you literally couldn't get into or out of the building without having to meet and face some of these individuals. I'm wondering then if a meeting wouldn't be held and another vote taken. What is the power structure and what makes this irrevocable?
You sound like you should have been in the 60s. Which is not criticism.
No, but I mean, you know, if petitions won't do it, what would? If this is the will of the people?
Well, that's the point. They don't think it is.
Something has reached the Board of Education. This closure has been stalled for 5 years.
I think a little bit of underground politics type.
Probably, but you know, if you who live in the East say, that is really of no concern of mine, it is. You each are, or you are a resident of Wilkes County, which happens to be one of the largest geographical counties in the state, which makes it difficult, Dr. Abernathy, because we've got the East that relates, in many respects, much closer to Elkin than any other part of the county. Hello there.
I just wanted to ask a question. The people in this section have learned yet that there are two Wilkesboros. When I came down to this section, I'm serious. The kids in Pleasant Hill, a lot of them and their parents didn't know there was but one Wilkesboro.
We've always felt like, I mean, I'm a, not an original person here either, but we've always felt like we didn't belong.
Well, that's the way I found it. You see, really, Wilkes County is divided into four parts. The east, the west, the north, and those that down 115.
Well, what in your mind then would bring it together that we haven't tried even, we as citizens of this county? You can't do it, you say.
No, I'd rather drive to Winston and drive to Wilkesboro. Not because I don't like Wilkesboro.
I understand.
I like Wilkesboro fine, but I'd rather drive to Winston, like if I'm going out to eat or something.
It costs you more for gas.
Not much more, though.
For gas?
Well,
twice as much.
15 minutes.
You'll get behind chicken tracks.
Well, on the eastern edge, you can get to Winston in 45 minutes. It takes 35 to get to the other side of Wilkesboro.
You know, on this side, they've got a Holly Farms place on this side.
I was thinking about steakhouse.
Well, I spent the day on jury duty in Wilkesboro today and had 3 hours that we had to kill to go back to 2 o'clock, and I was bored stiff.
You should have gone over to the old jail.
And stayed there, man.
No, but it's a good question for me.
What would you have done in Elkin or Winston-Salem had you been on jury duty and still had the same interval of time to fill? I don't mean anything personal, but I mean what do you think you would have done?
If I'd been in Elkin, I would have gone home. But I would have gone shopping, which I did up there, but wasn't very interested in one of them.
Those people there, they don't identify with our school. I don't think we don't identify as being in the same school system as Wilkes Central, even though we are, I heard. They don't, I mean, when they give out scholarships and all these things, our kids don't get considered. Now, like today, we had two students here who got $8,000 in scholarships today, but they were given by Chatham Manufacturing Company. See, we're really just in no man's land down here.
Well, I would like to see, I think disadvantaged children need attention and there needs to be more money spent for them, true. But I'm sick and tired of seeing the gifted children and the talented children do without. They say, well, they're smart, they'll get it anyway. They're going to get it anyway. And I'm tired of that. I want to see some money put in action for those students.
This is true. This falls right in line with what you're saying about the cultural arts that need to be cultivated in a room and, you know, a stage and things like that.
Well, we've come a long way. I mean, we've got 100 people in the band, we've got chorus, ensemble, what have you, but still there's a big gap in things that other kids are interested in, particularly drama.
What happens at election time? We didn't talk about politics at all. We didn't really want to get into that. And I'm not talking partisan politics now.
That's the problem with partisan politics.
Well, what happens in election time when there's no one from the eastern part of the county running? Do people turn out?
You try to get somebody from the eastern part of the county and you get them in, but you still don't see any benefits from them being up in the decisions that are made in North Wilkesboro and Wilkesboro in this area. Is the way I've always felt that it was.
The voting strength down here is, they feel that they can't compete with the Wilkesboros because of the number of people.
One of the things that I think would help would be to divide your county into eight. Election district so that you guarantee one of your commissioners can't reach district. Now, of course, that would have to go through your state legislature, but it could
the people can do that if they're really interested.
But that would be one.
Has anybody promoted that at all? I mean, any group promoted it?
Well, I'm an outsider. Also, I don't know, but I think it's one thing that needs to be done. Because, you know, I'm a history teacher. You know, talking to people about that sort of thing. I know about what they're talking about. There's a feeling that, well, the East End politically just doesn't speak. You know, we don't have any voice there. And if one of the commissioners always had to be from our district or from each of the districts as we were divided, we'd always have a voice.
Well, haven't you had one down here though?
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Oh, yeah, that's, I mean, you know, that's.
Yeah, but, you know, I've been here 20 years and there've been two commissioners from the East. One was Dr. Beal.
Right.
Who was here in 20 years ago, and then he didn't run again. And now T.D. Carter, and he is running again for a second term. But there's a tremendous time gap.
Yeah, the fact still is that it's not normal that they even have one. The fact that you have one now doesn't mean your end always has a voice.
That's why I was saying, if you get one in there, they still are, they do not do anything for this end of the county. You don't see any benefits from having a commissioner in. It seems that things are still happening in Wilkesboro and North Wilkesboro.
When you talk about political benefits, do you think of political benefits on a one-to-one basis, or are you talking about the area benefits?
Area.
Because I've seen one commissioner work for this area on a one-to-one basis. But I, you know, again,
no,
I'm not talking partisan politics.
I'm asking one-on-one. I'm asking, you know, for everybody.
For the area.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, the districting could change that, conceivably.
Should be not.
Well, you know, things have gotten better. Not too good, but better. I remember when the chairman of the Wilkes County Board of Education was from Rhonda, and he never had his child in Wilkes County School.
I remember that too.
For a long, long time.
Before we get really embroiled in politics, which is interesting, what do you think television is doing to children? Okay. Is it as damaging as this group that has organized itself from four mothers getting together in a living room and moving out?
Worse.
Read an interesting statistic in Reader's Digest while we were waiting after having set up and before we actually started the meeting. Said that, according to the statistic, Dr. Abernathy quoted, he said that 98% of the homes in the United States had at least one or more TV sets. The other 2% had to create their own sex and violence.
I find it personally, and it's not because of age, but it's the best remedy for insomnia that I can find. The easiest way to go to sleep for me is to turn television on.
The violence is what worries me, that children are learning this pattern of violence, that you just whip out a gun or a knife or whatever. I think that's terrible.
With most of the problem, they do say at your parents' discretion.
They're beginning to put
that in. Having parents watch the programs with their children, or even bother to check in the TV guide and see what it's going to be with it. Because some sweet, darling little show can all of a sudden have a very, quote, adult theme to it that you wouldn't want your 8-year-old or 7-year-old to watch.
And so many of them write in the hour when children can watch, when the young children can watch.
8 o'clock to 9.
Well, you've got so many kids who've got TVs in the room now, before they're 10 years old. You know, they got their own TV in their own room.
I think that from a teacher view, I think about TV, what's pitiful is made of non-readers.
That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy.
Well, reading there.
You've been a responsive audience, and you've made my moderating very easy, and I appreciate being here tonight, and I particularly appreciate the distance and the message that's been brought by Dr. Abernathy. And we hope that you come back again soon to address us. And he's going to Spain on vacation, so we wish him bon voyage for that. Jay has an announcement.
I just want to remind those of you who are taking this for credit, that on the 14th, April the 14th, which is a Monday night at Wilkes Community College in Hayes Hall, room 312, is where we'll complete this. So if you, if I can see you on the 14th of April, that'll be it.
Maybe we can get a bus from each side.
Since you're down here, I'll let you work that one out.
Good job.